Srimad Bhagavatam, Raslila of the 10th Canto, 29th chapter, verse 3. Tristwa kamudvantam akanda mandalam kamanabam nava kunkumaranam vanam chatat komala gobi raschitam kalo chago kalam vam. We're discussing this phrase in the last line, Jagokalam, a special enchantment of Krishna's flute playing. This is the characteristic of the flute, very enchanting, very attractive. Ears of people everywhere. They can hear the flute of Krishna. And when they hear the flute of Krishna, they feel happy. They're not devotees, Krishna Bhakt. But when they hear the flute, whether they're an Indian man, or a French man, an American, a Chinaman, a Japanese person, an African, a South African, a Norwegian, a Swede, British, anywhere in the world, our deer-like ears, like the ears of a deer, when we hear the flute, everyone feels happy. When we hear a flute sound, everyone feels peaceful, relaxed, soothed, comforted. Joyful. The tension, anxiety, and agitation of our minds becomes diminished. We feel the flute is like a soothing balm. Very refreshing, comforting. We don't know why. It's a sound vibration. It's shabda, sound. And everyone has ears. They can hear sound. Good sounds, bad sounds, pleasurable sounds. But when they hear the sound of the flute, when the ears capture that sound and pass that sound to the mind and heart, people all around the world buy Indian flute music. They buy CDs or tape, whatever, to listen to the soothing flute music after a hard day's work and struggle. Put on some flute music. Yes, this is very nice. I feel relieved. Does everyone agree? And in the audience, there are Russian people and Indian people and South American people. Many types of devotees from around the world in India. You can take this interview everywhere. Have you ever heard a flute? No, sir, I haven't. What does it sound like? And you play. Oh, that's very nice. If one has never heard the flute and they hear for the first time, what will they say? Oh, that's very nice. It's such a magical instrument. That one sound vibration can make everyone in the world happy. One sound vibration can make everyone in the world peaceful. And one sound vibration can make everyone in the whole world joyful. Amazing. And it's simply shabda. prakrita shabda, lokik shabda, a sound produced from this prakriti, from this material world, a world of sound, a world of touch, a world of form and sight, a world of smells and aromas. The sensual world around us, the indriya lok, the world of the indriyas. And this, interestingly enough, this is the instrument, the musical instrument, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, loves to play. The flute vamshi is, the word vamshi is feminine, female. Sakhi. Sakhi means girlfriend, Sakhi. So Krishna is always associating with his girlfriend, his vamshi Sakhi. He carries in his left hand. Krishna carries his flute in his left hand, and then he sometimes plays it. As a man will hold the hand of his wife in his left hand, the wife is on the left side. The wife, or maybe his sister or girlfriend, his Sakhi or wife. But Krishna is always clutching his Sakhi with his left hand, his flute, vamshi, vamshi Sakhi. Murali Sakhi. But Veno's a coward boy. Veno's masculine. So this is the Vamshi of Krishna. The Veno, Vamshi, Murali. Constant companion. Sangani. Krishna's Vamshi. Krishna, when Krishna takes bhog, he puts his Vamshi in his dhoti. He tucks, then takes prasad. And after washing, then play something, and then going for gocharan and playing, and sometimes holding in his hand and speaking. At night, when Krishna sleeps, then Mother Yashoda and Nandagaon, young boy, Lala, Nandulal, Mother Yashoda puts Lala, Nandulal, into his bed and puts the white sheets over his shoulders and glances at his beautiful face and kisses him on his forehead and pats him with her right hand. She pats Krishna on the chest. Oh, my beautiful darling, my beautiful darling boy, you rest nicely, because tomorrow you have to play with all your friends many long hours. You have to take out all your Nanda Baba's cows and calves, so you rest nicely. Have very peaceful, healthful sleep. She goes like this. And then Krishna's dressed in his sleeping clothes. And then Lala says, "Oh, Mata, Vamshi kahan? Mata, Vamshi kahan? Vamshi de do, Vamshi. Mera Vamshi de do. Give me my Vamshi." Oh, I'm sorry, Lala. Like some young girls, they will not go to sleep unless they have little teddy bear. They have some little stuffed animal. Oh, daddy, give my little teddy. Like we call teddy bear. And then they sleep with their teddy bears. So Krishna doesn't have a teddy bear. He has a vamshi sakhi. He sleeps with his vamshi. So just see how integral and how important is Krishna's vamshi. It's so wonderful. Such a wonderful instrument. Because we're discussing this phrase, Jago Kalam, Jago Kalam, Jago Kalam, Vamadrisham Manoharam. That Jago Krishna, Kalam, Kalam means flute in the Sanskrit phrase of this verse. Krishna played expertly on his flute. Kalam also means Kala. Kala means 64 Kalas. So many wonderful musical and talented artistic expressions that Krishna has. So Kala, but it's actually Kalam. He's playing so artistically and beautifully and expertly on his flute, and ultimately romantically. So I thought we should step back and examine this flute of Krishna. What is this flute? How is it so important to Krishna? And what is the significance of the sound vibration of a flute and how the impression on every human being of the flute music, the sweetness, the sweet flute song. There are many musical instruments in the modern world, but you can't say they are producing sweet, very, very, very sweet, or at least to all ears. Every ear of every human in the material world practically agrees that the sound of the flute is very, very sweet. So if you compare the flute to a saxophone, or to a trumpet, or to an electric guitar, or so many types of modern instruments, some people might say, yes, the clarinet is very sweet, because it's a wind instrument. But nothing like the flute. The flute is so important to Bhagavan Sri Krishna that Krishna has so many shaktis and so many vibhutis and so many unlimited powers and talents and abilities. And the acharyas and the shastras, they describe Bhagavan's Sarup Lakshana and Tatastha Lakshana, his primary qualities and his secondary qualities, and then what, there's some qualities that all the expressions of God have in common, and they come to 60. There's 60 qualities that Bhagavan, Vishnu, Narayan, Krishna, and the Das Avatars and Krishna possess. Qualities, 60, and an unlimited, infinite quantity of those powers. But then, because Krishna and Vrindavan is Swayam Bhagavan, he is the origin of all the other Bhagavans and Vishnu expansions, then he has to have something special, Vishesh Gun, some special qualifying characteristics, special powers, special vibhutis or shaktis that the other forms of Bhagavan do not have, do not express, and cannot express because of their form that they're in. So then the acharyas have analyzed what those qualities are. These qualities are not just qualities. We say one quality that's common to all the forms of Bhagavan is that every form of Bhagavan, Bhagavan Ram, Bhagavan Nrsimha, Vaman, Vishnu, Narayan, and Krishna, they have the quality and the power to create millions of universes. Millions of universes. This is one. Krishna has. All the forms of Bhagavan have. But Krishna has four qualities. So when we say Bhagavan has the quality to create unlimited universes, Ram, Vishnu, Krishna, that's a quality. That quality is an expression of omnipotency, inconceivable omnipotency, power, grandeur, majesty, Aishwarya Shakti, Aishwarya Vibhuti. But it is not necessarily sweet. It is a quality. But Krishna, his four qualities that distinguish him from all the other forms of Bhagavan, and that's why Vyasamuni describes Krishna in the first canto, chapter 3, verse 28, as Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam. That Bhagavan who produces all the other Bhagavans from himself. Swayam. So if I'm going to give away my wealth or distribute my wealth, because all the vibhutis, all the aishwaryas are the wealth of God. The qualities are his wealth, his shaktis. So I'm distributing them because I am the origin, the Adi Bhagavan, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And I'm distributing them and giving them to all my expansions. For example, a rich man may distribute all his wealth to his family members, but he also may keep some for himself. And generally, he'll keep the lion's share for himself. So Krishna has distributed all his qualities to all the forms of Bhagavan, but he's kept four qualities with himself that he's not giving to anyone. Because he's the one that he expanded all these forms for himself, and he invested them with all their powers, potencies, and qualities. But they all have 60. I have 60. But I have four more, which you don't have, because I did not grant them to you. I kept a little something to distinguish myself from yourself. Although you're all actually one. We're all the Absolute Truth. We are all the Absolute Truth. All the forms of Bhagavan, Ram, Vishnu, Narayan, Krishna are Absolute Truth. Paratattva, Paratattva, Absolute Truth, Bhagavan, God, the creator, maintainer, destroyer. But I'm keeping something for myself, because actually the essence of myself is not Aishvarya, although that's a part of me, certainly. But that's a wave. I'm an ocean of qualities. I have unlimited qualities. So when I distribute all my Aishvarya, my powers and majesty, that is one wave from my ocean. One wave, one taranga from my samudra, gun. Bhagavan, Samudra Gun, Sindhu Gun, the ocean of qualities of Bhagavan. So you, one wave, all my Aishvarya powers, 60 of my qualities come in one wave and go in, become Ramchandra Bhagavan. And 60 qualities expand from my form and become Vishnu, Narayan, Nrisingha. But that's one wave from my ocean, says Bhagavan Sri Krishna. That's my Aishvarya, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya. Viryasya yasasha shriya. And with that one wave from me, thousands, ananta, ananta rupam, thousands and thousands and millions of avatars and incarnations go all over the universe to millions of planets from one, eko bahusham, nityo nityananas, chaitanas, chaitananam. But what about me, Krishna? I am sweet. That's the other aspect of myself, my sweetness, my sugar sweetness, my honey that melt in the mouth flavor of honey, thickly rolling down your throat and spreading sweetness and flavor and aroma and fragrance everywhere throughout your being. Real honey. And that's the real Krishna. That's the real Swayam Bhagavan. Honey sweet Bhagavan. Madhurya Mayi Bhagavan, Madhurya Purushottam Sri Krishna. That is my ocean, my Madhurya Mayi aspect. There's Aishvarya Mayi Bhagavan, Krishna, Swayam. And then that's one wave, but actually the entire ocean of my qualities, the vast unlimited ocean, is Madhurya Mayi Krishna. That's sweeter than sweet Bhagavan. As Bilba Mangala Thakur said, how can I describe how much sweetness there is in Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna and Vrindavan? So much sweetness. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. And it's Krishna Karanamrita. Krishna Karanamrita, one book by Bilva Mangala, Sant Bilva Mangala Thakur. Krishna is sweet, sweeter, sweetest, incredibly, unlimitedly sweet, sweet, sweet. Because even when Bilba Mangala tried to describe Krishna, the sweetness that he as a liberated Premi Bhakta was experiencing, he was overwhelmed with ecstasy, septic bhavs, Madhurya septic bhavs, love for his beloved Krishna. And from his mouth only came Madhuram, 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 Sham, Madhuram, Sham. So sweet. 10 million rasgulas, 100 million gulab jamuns, 10 zillion kilos of rubbery. Impossible. An entire Himalayan mountain range of chini. A chini parvat, a mountain of sugar. Chini sindhu. Madhu Sindhu, what a Shahad Sindhu, an ocean of honey, a mountain of sugar, a continent, entire African continent full of jaggery, an entire continent of Africa or Russia, all of Russia filled with jaggery, gore. It's a good idea. Maybe it'll melt the snow. Then everything will become sweet. That and Krishna is sweeter than that. Madhuram, 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 sham. This is Krishna. But what makes that madhuram? Madhuram, madhuram, madhuram. Madhuram. What makes Krishna so sweet? Four vishesh gun, four alokik gun, four transcendental spiritual qualities to be found in no other form of Bhagavan except Krishna. Govinda Damo Garamadaveti. Vrindavan Sri Krishna. What are those four qualities, Swamiji? And why do you say they're so sweet? Because we say, Maryada Purushottam Bhagavan Sri Ramachandra Ji Ki Jai. Shristi Purushottam Bhagavan Sri Narayan Ki Jai. Palana Purushottam Bhagavan Narayan Ki. Pralaya Purushottam Bhagavan Narayan Ki. Jai? No Jai. Jai Veri Kamjor. Pralaya Bhagavan Ki Jai. Pralaya means destruction god. Pralaya Bhagavan, destruction, flood, everything. Finished. Finito. Hogya. This is, but no. Makanchor. Rasabihari. Julana Bihari. Right? Julana Padaro. Ai. Juke. Ai. How's it going? Radha Julena Padaro Juki Ai Badara. Radha Julena. Julena Padaro Juki Ai Badara. Ai Badara. Ai Badara. Make ho, make ho, make ho. Come clouds, those monsoon clouds of the monsoon season. Soothing rains, beautiful colors, panoramic skies, amazing lights everywhere, the lighting of the landscape, so beautiful. Hey, Radharani, how? I see. Come get in a julan. See, all the clouds are coming here from yonder sky to gather around you and worship you, surround you with Ganesham Rang. Ah, Ganesham. Radhe julana padaro. Chuki ahe badara. Radharani, Takurani, Radharani ki jai. Funky Bihari Lal ki jai. Vrindavan Chandra Sri Shyam Sundar Ji ki jai. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Sweet Bhagavan. What makes you so sweet, Krishna? Please tell me. Your sweetness has captured my heart. Your sweetness has captured my mind. Your sweetness is saturating my senses. And your sweetness has stolen my mind and taken my entire life to your lotus feet. O Bhagavan, Krishna, O Madhurya Purushottam, what is that sweetness in you that has totally stolen everything I ever had of my own? I am yours, I am yours. I cannot live without you, O my Shamsundar, O my Pyariju. Hey, Bhagavan. Jivana Marano. Whether I live or die, I have nothing but you. Your Seva, your Smaran, your Kirtan, your Naam. Hey, Bhagavan, what is this sweetness? What is it? Tell me, tell me. Ah, Suno. Suno, Jiva. Sunoji, do you want to know what my sweetness is? My sweetness is Rupa Madhurya. Rupa Madhurya Krishna. Rupam. Rupa Madhurya Sham. Tribhanga Lalitam. Sham Sundaram. I don't stand like this, like Ramchandra or like Vishnu. I stand Tera. Tera Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki Jai. I stand in a crooked way. My head is bent like this, and my waist is bent, and my legs are crossed. I'm relaxed. I'm comfortable. I'm not sitting straight like Swamiji. I'm relaxed. I'm not doing anything. You can be relaxed when you're not doing anything. Hey, why are you relaxing like that in the office? Why are you just sitting there? Sit straight in your chair. Work on your computer. When you're happy, you relax. When you're with people you love, you relax. When you're in a place you love, you relax. When you feel good, you relax. I feel so relaxed. Krishna is the relaxo Bhagavan. He's the relaxo Bhagavan. Everywhere he relaxes. So, yeah, I stand like this. So what? Haribo, Radhe Radhe. I don't have any neck problems. I don't need to have good posture and sit straight. I have no teachers scolding me if I don't sit straight. And I have no parents scolding me if I don't sit straight. I walk crooked. I sit crooked. I act crooked. I speak crooked. I'm crooked! Tera Bhagavan. Me Tera Bhagavan. I'm very crooked. I'll steal your makan, makanchur. I'll take all your butter. Hey, Subha. Hey, Sridhar. Hey, Madhu. Hey, Batu. You saw the face? Did you see the face of that gopi? Did you see her face when we ran out of her house? You saw her face when we ran out of her house with that huge mud cup. With that clay pot full of freshly churned butter, I think it was 10 kilos. I don't know how I got the strength to carry it. I'm only a 3-year-old boy. I'm Gopal. Look at my arms, Abala. But somehow I got this huge pot of butter freshly. I still remember it. And we ran away. And she was like, Lala, chor, hey, chor. Come back, you thief. I'll tell your mother. We ran away laughing. Oh, hey, Subal, all right. This is Krishna. He's relaxed, carefree, happy, foot loose and fancy free. This is Gopal on the spree and Gokul, enjoying. So therefore, relax, so Bhagavan. He's always relaxed because he's always engaged in recreation. Recreation means pleasure. Pleasure means joy. Means lila, rasa krida, bala krida, playing as a bala, playing as a pogonda, as a baby playing, as a child playing, as a youth playing, every time playing. Playland of Braj, lila bhumi Vrindavan, madhurya bhumi Vrindavan. This is the place of krida, kailana, play, happy, joy, relax. Come and relax. Krishna's sweetness. Rupa Madhurya. His form is sweet. Why does he stand like that? I can't forget the way he stands. I've seen so many forms of Bhagavan. I came from Germany. I'm an atheist. And I went all over India and they showed me these murtis, these icons, these deities. And I said, oh, they're all like this. Shringa Bhagavan ki jai, Bhagavan Narahari ki jai. So formal, so stiff. They're really uptight. All these Bhagavans are really uptight. But then I came to Vrindavan. I went into the temple. And I saw Bunky Bihari. And he's like this. He's like, I don't know, is he doing yoga? Was he doing, Bhagavan was doing yoga? Or he was just doing some caricature of a funny person. And then I went into another temple. I went into Radharaman. He's like Choti, little small type. He's so bent, so cute. Very cute little boy, little black boy. Very cute, but also bent. And I was thinking, his mother, he's so small boy. His mother's not telling him to stand straight. If you don't stand straight when you're a boy, then when you're old man, all kamjor. Like hunchback, Tutkaya. So then, he's like this, he's bent. But somehow, after seeing these forms of Bhagavan, these Tribhanga Rupams and Murtis, I started to believe that Bhagavan's, he's pretty cool. Bhagavan, he's all right. He's like, he's relaxed. He's not, all these other, I went over South India. I went to Himalayas, Chardham, Parikrama. I saw the beautiful Himalayas in Gangama. It was a beautiful country, India. As a German tourist, Yatri speaking, I met. He said, but these Murtis, I thought, very boring. They're so stiff. No, they're all doing, they're so uptight. But then in Vrindavan, all the leaders, it seems to be, I don't know what they're doing. I'm an atheist, but it seems they're dancing or something. They're just like this, and they're so happy. They're all smiling. All the deities I saw, they were smiling, and they were holding some flute. I said, what is this? They're hippie musicians? These deities in Vrindavan, they're all hippies playing a flute and guitar and sitting in the park. I love you. Woo, woo, woo. Ding, 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 ding. I love you. Woo, woo, woo. But then I realized, no. My Hindu friend is telling me this is God. He's a play god. He enjoys. He relaxes. And his form is so sweet. This is Rupa Madhurya. This is our Rupa Madhurya Bhagavan. Krishna. Heart-stealing Rupam. Mind-enchanting Rupam. Unforgettable Rupam. This is Krishna. And Vrindavan. Sri Bangalalitam Niyatap Prakasham. Shama Sundaram Govindam. Damodar Madhav. Even the heart of an atheist can be captured by the sweetness of Krishna's Rupa Madhurya. This is the power of Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. Rupa Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, his flute is so sweet. What is the origin of all that sweetness we hear in the flutes around the world? What is the origin of all that satisfaction? Who and what is the origin of all that satisfaction and peace and comfort that we feel anywhere, Russians, Americans, Germans, Africans, Indians? What is the source? Everything has a source, a cause of all causes, karna, karna. What is the source of that sound? Of that sound. There's so many sounds in my world, so many sounds of musical instruments. But when I hear the flute sound, anywhere in the world, anyone of the world, I feel peaceful, relaxed. I feel relaxed. Relaxed, comforted, peaceful, calm from the flute. Is it simply the source is a piece of bamboo, a bunts, bansuri means made of bunts, or a flute? Or is it a silver flute made of silver? In the Western countries, they have chandika vamshi, chandika bansuri. That is not the source. It's not an instrument, wood with some holes in it. The source of that pleasure, of that relaxing mood, is Relaxo Bhagavan. The source is God, Krishna, because he is the Adi Bansuri Wala. He is the original flute player. And from Krishna comes all sound, all Shabda. But it's Shabda Brahman. It's spiritual flute, transcendental flute. And some drops of that transcendental santosh, anand, satisfaction and pleasure, some drops are reflected here in the material world. That Shabda Brahman of Krishna's Vamshi, Murali and Venu, that Shabda, transcendental sound vibration, Dibya Shabda, some reflection of that is entering this world, this Maya Jagat, into the flutes of this world. And when we hear that sound, it's a drop from the sound of Krishna's flute, Jago Kalam. And that drop, that note, that melody brings peace in our heart, satisfaction and joy. These are the virtues and sweetness of the flute. And Krishna is Veno Madhurya. He is the origin of that sweet Veno Murali Vamshi. Rupa Madhurya, Veno Madhurya. And we've already described through a Leela, his Leela Madhurya. The pastimes and activities of Krishna are so sweet. They've captured the minds of everyone. Even the greatest Gnostic, Pashandi, atheist, non-believer, Avishwas, non-believer, Gnostic. When he hears some description of the sweet Balya Leela of Krishna and Gokul, he feels, oh, he's such a cute little boy. What a cute little picture. He has this, look at that poster. Oh, what a cute boy. Oh, how come he's blue? Some French man might say. Oh, that's a beautiful painting of a little boy. And he has his hand. he has his little chubby little hand inside a clay mud cup. And he has a bunch of, I guess it's must be butter or yogurt in his hand. And he's smiling so mischievously with that mascara around his eyes. He's a very cute boy. Some Frenchman may see a poster of him. And then, oh, why is he blue? So he asks his Hindu friend, because he has a Hindu friend in Paris, and he meets his Hindu friend at a dinner engagement. He said, oh, my friend, I see this beautiful painting of such a cute baby. Can you tell me, is there some story? Oh, yes, my friend. Oh, Mr. Frenchman, let me tell you about that picture of Gokul. We call him Makanchor. We call him Makanchor. And he's stolen all of our hearts. Now let me describe his activities, his anecdotes, what we call Leela. So then that Indian gentleman in Paris, entertaining his French friend, he tells him about that picture or painting of Gopal, Makanchor. And the Frenchman, he becomes, oh, he's so cute. That's such a funny pastime. I never laughed so much in my life about how he stole that pot and he ran away. And the lady was looking like this and yelling. So the Leela of Krishna, Krishna Leela, Braj Leela, is captured the mind, it can capture and has captured and it will continue to capture the minds and hearts of everyone in the universe. What to speak of France, Russia, and Germany. If someone allows himself to hear those Leelas being described or depicted in movies and animations and whatnot about Krishna, unforgettable. They can see movies about other forms of Bhagavan, it won't have the same penetration. It won't have the same capturing and absorption and captivation and enchantment as Krishna's Leela. Because his Leelas are Madhurya. And everyone in the world, what is the favorite taste of everyone in the world? Sweet ice cream, pie, rubbery, rasgulla, rasmalai, mango shake, all sweet, everywhere in the world. French sweets. British sweets, Chinese sweets, everywhere sweets. Sugar, everyone eats 10 million tons of sugar every day. But how much salt do people eat? 1 million tons, whatever, the whole world. So sweet is the most attractive taste, the most satisfying taste. No meal, we say in this Hindu cooking. The remaining sweetness of the four sweetnesses that distinguished Bhagavan Sri Krishna from all other forms of Bhagavan is his prema madhurya, the sweetness of his prema. That sweet love, sweet prema, is so sweet, so intensely, richly sweet, that no matter who approaches Krishna in any leela, in any time, whether it be Dwarka or Mathura, or Vrindavan, when they approach Krishna, irregardless of their motivation, irregardless of their bhav or desire in their mind or heart or their ambition, irregardless of their intention of why they are approaching Bhagavan, Krishna showers them indiscriminately, without any discrimination. He showers them with the ambrosial drops and waves of his sweetness. That is his nature. That Bhakta Vatsalya, that Asura Vatsalya, that Rakshasi Vatsalya. Krishna is affectionate. He's affectionate and sweetly loving to anyone who approaches him. If it's a Rakshash, or whether it's a Gnostic or an atheist, or whether it's a prostitute, or whoever it is, Krishna showers them. They come as a Rakshasi, Putana Rakshasi. To kill them, to murder Krishna. And he laughs, you can't murder me, but I'm going to drown. You're trying to murder me with the poison of your breast. I'm going to intoxicate you with the amrit of my love. You want to murder me? I'm going to intoxicate you with sweet love. So much sweet love that I will make you my mother. I will make you my datri and my spiritual abode of Vrindavan. There is no other form of Bhagavan ever in existence that has such prema madhurya, that a rakshash, a demon, comes to kill them and they make them their nurse, make them their mother. Did Ram turn Ravana into his mother? Hardly. Not a chance. Did Ram turn Shupurnaka into his lover? No. He disfigured her, destroyed her beauty. What is the beauty? What is the only major quality of a woman? What is her major contribution to the world? Her external beauty. The form of woman is beautiful. Tender, sweet, shyness, so many qualities, obviously. So if a woman gets her nose and ears cut off, is she beautiful? No. So taking nose and ears means killing a woman. Yes? Yes. Although alive. Killing but not killing. But when a Rakshasi, Putana, comes to kill Krishna and Gokul, he's 6 days old. No weapons, no anything. Does he kill her? No. Does he poison her? Does he chop her? He doesn't do anything. She comes as a mother with a poisoned stan, Kalakuta, Stana Kalakuta. Her stan, her breast was smeared with Kalakuta poison, more poisonous than the poison that was churned from the Sura Asura Samudra Mantan, the churning of the ocean, the Kheer Sagar, the milk ocean was churned by the demons and devotees. Then came out Vish, poison. So powerful poison, so much burning and powerful poison, no one could touch it, no one could smell it. If any deva even smelled that poison, they would die or touch it. And they said, what to do? We have produced this Vish from the milk. We're trying to get Amrit, Ras, Somaras, get Ras, Sanjeevani from this milk ocean. We got poison, Vish, what to do? And they called upon Shiv, Ashutosh, Shiv, Bolanath. Shiv, O Mahadev, please. Ah, no problem. A great yogi, that great Vaishnavaram Yata Shambhu, that great Shambhu, Vishnu Kabak. He said, yes, for the service of all the devas, I will take it. So Lord Shiva came with his hands. He scooped all the poison in his hand. He drank it. It went in his throat. It burned. What is the hottest type of fire? Do you know about fire? Fire is yellow flames, not very hot. Fire has red flames, not very hot. Fire has blue flames. Yes? Nila. Do you have a stove? You have a chula? And you cook your food, what color are the flames? Blue, they're not white, not yellow. Blue color, blue flames, blue fire, very, very hot, very, very virulent, virulent, poison, vish, and ati, ati, gharam, smoking poison. It's called Kalakuta vish. It was burning his hands. Shiva's hands were burning like sulfuric acid burning through his hands. Bubbling, burning, smoking, Kalakuta poison. Shiva scooped it up in his hands. He drank it. It went down his golden throat. Shiva's body is Sona, golden color. Beautiful, Deva, Shiva, golden form. Beautiful. Parvati is golden. Shiva's golden. But he smears his body. His golden body is beautiful. He wants to cover his body. His body is so beautiful. Lord Shiva is so dashing, handsome, powerful Rishi, glowing with austerity, glowing with Vishnu Bhakti. So much peace, so much power, the epitome of power, Mahadev, Bhagavan. So he covers his body with ashes from the cremation ground, Shamshan. These are the ashes of great Vaishnavas. Great Vaishnavas. He covers his whole body so that beautiful golden form, which is radiant like the sun, so attractive that all the ladies in the universe would run to become his servants. He has no interest. He's Nistinchan, the greatest yogi, the Maha Maha Yogi, Mahadev Shankar Bhagavan. That beautiful golden form is now covered with bluish, grayish ashes. You've seen paintings? Oh, Shiva's dark blue in color. Shiva's dark gray in color. When you read Veda Puran, it describes he's a beautiful celestial body. He's God. He's a godly figure, expansion of the Lord. Anantashesh, Shiva, Shankar. Anyway, it's a side point. So he scooped it up in his hands and he drank it. And it went down his body and his golden throat became colored Nilakant. Nilakant Shiv Ki. Nilakant Mahadev. That blue color is because it is so hot. That Kalakuta poison is like blue flame. Very intense. Blue going to white. The hottest heat is white. The sun is white rays coming through the atmosphere. Comes rainbow color. When they weld, do welding with steel, they use white light. These special tanks, gas, whatever they call them, those tanks. They do welding. They have to wear special goggles because their eyes will burn up in the intensity of that white light. You know welding? Zzz. White light is most intense. But next intense is blue, Nilakant. So he drank it. That was Rakshasi Putana. Krishna was 6 days old with that on her breast. Oh, my baby, come. My stanabhara, my breast is very full and plump and round, full of the most nourishing, sweetest milk. Oh, my Lala, please, you take. Rakshasi coming to murder Krishna, kill him, destroy him. Did Krishna kill her? No. He showered with Madhurya Premam. Braja Madhurya Premam. Yes, very nice. You have come to kill me. That's nice. You become my mother. Murderer becomes mother. Murderer becomes mother because of the prema madhurya of Krishna Vrindavan. This is the madhurya guna of Krishna. If that isn't the most glaring, unbelievable example, ashcharya gun, who can imagine? This is Bhagavan. We've discussed the sweetness of Krishna that establishes Bhagavan Sri Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan. All Bhagavans have 60 qualities, but Krishna has 64 qualities. 64 transcendental qualities and unlimited amounts. Prema Madhuryam, Lila Madhuryam, Rupa Madhuryam, and Vena Madhuryam. In this verse, Dasama Skanda, chapter 29, verse 3, we've been discussing this phrase, Jago Kalam Vamadrisham Manoharam. So this is an explanation of Jago Kalam. That Kalam, the word Jago Kalam in Sanskrit means he, Krishna, played the flute. Kalam in this Sanskrit means the flute. He saw these beautiful features of Vrindavan and he played the flute. Now let's take another look at Jago Kalam. What is the significance of Jago Kalam, Krishna, the flute player Krishna, and what is the importance and significance of Krishna's flute in Vrindavan? I have already touched upon one point, that Krishna's Vamshi is his Sakhi, his dear companion, dear friend. You have a girlfriend, Sakhi, your Sakha, boyfriend. Wherever you go, your friend goes with you. They say, oh, those two boys, they're bosom buddies. They're best of friends. They play together, they sleep together. They're always together. Sometimes he even sleeps at my house with his friend, or my friend goes to his house. They're very close childhood friends. We hear like this. But Krishna has his friend, Sridham, who is Radharani's elder brother. It's good to have a friend like that. Because then if you want to fall in love with his younger sister, you can say, listen, Sridham, can you put in a good word for me? Can you tell your sister Radha how great I am and how sweet I am? Yeah, no problem, Krishna. Krishna, I'll set it all up for you. Don't worry. I'll make her really like you. I'll say all good. I won't say anything bad about you, all those bad words you say. And all those, you know, tricks you do. I won't tell her that we steal all so many things. I'll say, he's very honest. Oh, yeah, Krishna's very honest. Krishna always tells the truth. Because Radharani, one day, she said, hey, Sridhar, Hare, soon. You're always moving with this boy, Gopal. Can you tell me something about him? Is he a good boy? Would anybody in the world who plays flute take his flute to bed with him? And especially if he's going to the bed with his wife? Oh, excuse me, let me... What's that? Well, that's my flute. Krishna everywhere is inseparable, Krishna's flute. Like, what is Vishnu? What is inseparable from Krishna, from Vishnu? Chakra, Gada, Padma, Shank. His symbols, his weapons, whatever. They're there. Jago Kalam. Krishna's flute is his constant companion. So we've been describing it's one of the sweetnesses that make Krishna Madhurya Purushottam. And it's the verses about Jago Kalam. So let's understand. Now, if you take the role of Krishna's kalam or his flute in Vrindavan, in his Vrindavan Leela and in his Ras Leela, then you see the supreme role, the role and the position of Krishna's flute in his Braj Leela. Not Mathura Leela, not Dwaraka Leela, only in Braj. The sweetness of Krishna is specially found in Braj, that supreme sweetness, that quintessence of Madhurya. That quintessence of Madhurya is only in Braj Leela. The flute, it's always with Krishna. But then, if you examine Ras Leela, there are basically four players in the Ras Leela. There are four players, all right? In the entire five chapters, there are four heroes in this Ras Leela. Let's say four chief characters, because one is a heroine. So who are the four chief players in the entire Ras Leela? They're inseparable from the Ras Leela. If any one of these four is missing from the Ras Leela, there is no Ras Leela. So the obvious first player is the Nayak, the Nitya Nayak, that Nagar, Braj Nagar, Sri Krishna, that lover, that romantic hero, romantic lover, the divine lover, Sri Krishna, Shamsundar. That's one of the four factors or personalities. And the second one is the hero and the heroine, Nayak and Nayaka. So obviously, the Madhurya Nayakas, their Madhurya, are the gopis, the Parakiya gopis, Braja Ramanis, and Braja Kanyakumaris, together mixing in Maharas. That means Radha. The hero is Krishna, and the heroine is Radha. Now, that's two. There's two more. Radha is necessary. You need a heroine for a love story and a hero, yes? But you need other factors. There's no love story. You can't have a love story with only a hero and heroine. That's a fact. Do you understand? There's a hero, a heroine, and what else? A setting. Who, what, when, where, why. Who, what, where. A setting, an environment, a landscape. Yes? Can you have a love story in a vacuum? No. Impossible. It must be some place. So that place is Vrindavan. So the Vrindavan, the beauty of Vrindavan, that's called the Udipan. The Udipan. The basic foundational factors, the Vibhav, of the whole Madhurya to expand and move. The whole love story. The terra firma. The Rasastali. Then what else? The season, the time of day, the moon, the birds, the trees, the river, the flowers. All these are part of the props, the stage, the setting. So that's inseparable from a love story. The hero, the heroine, the setting. That's enough. Then there's action, and there's anticipation, and meeting, and conflict, and searching, and chase scenes, and so many scenes, and acts, and dialogues. That's a love story. Hero and heroine, and some time, and some place, and that's the setting, time, place, arrangement. And that's basically it. But in Krishna's love story, and all of Krishna's leelas in Vrindavan, there's a fourth player. It's always Krishna and someone else. Either Krishna and the boys, Krishna and his mother, some Premvishaya, Vibhav Premvishaya, Dilamban Vishaya, Krishna, and whoever, his servants, his mother, his friends, his lovers. And it's always Vrindavan. Hero, heroine, or hero and sub-hero, or the coward boys. But then, all these leelas, whether it's Dasya or Sakya or Madhurya or Vatsalya, motherly love, servant, master, there's a fourth player which you don't find in a regular love story. Who is the fourth player? Who is the fourth factor? Jagokalam. The fourth factor is Jagokalam. In every single pastime of Krishna, the flute is there. The flute is with his mother Yashoda. The flute is with his servants because they polish it and clean it and give it to him when they're dressing him. And they take care of it and wipe the cow dung off it every day. Wipe off the cow dung and the dust. He's a kid. He doesn't carry it around in a special flute case. because we want to protect them. If Krishna's flute breaks or Radharani breaks his flute, then the Palinda women make another one. They have a whole flute store in the forest. Down there in Chandichok in Vrindavan. They have a big flute music store there with all kinds of flutes and veenas. So in case one breaks or need a new string. So then the Palindas and Purnamasi Vrindadevi, they get the new flute. They just call up, hey, we need a flute. Send us down to Murli. What do you want? One made of jewels, or you want one made of bamboo, or what do you want? So no, we want the bamboo one today. So it's in a forest. He plays bamboo. In his house, he plays silver. And he had different ones: marble, jewels, jeweled flute. So this is the Vamshi is in all the leelas. In the Dasya Leela, the Vamshi is there. In the Sakya Leela, the Vamshi is there. Vatsali Leela, Madhurya Leela, and Braj. So see how important is the Jagokulam. He who plays the flutes, Jagokulam, Shamsundar, Krishna. Every Leela, he's 24 hours a day. What do you say, 24-7? 24-7, Krishna's flute is with him. Subal and the coward boys are not with Krishna when he's with the gopis. The flute's there. And Radharani is not there. Or you'd say Mother Yashoda is there, and maybe the coward boys are not there, and the gopis are not there. Only Yashoda, Nanda Baba, and Vrishabhanu, and Nanda, Upananda, Abhinandan. But Krishna's flute is there. And sometimes at night, when they all gather in Nanda Maharaj's palace, in his theater, the royal theater, to entertain Krishna, and of course the brothers, Abhinandan, Sunanda, and Nanda Nandan, and all they get together, the relatives, and they have dinner with Krishna and Balaram, Madhumangal, Subal Sridham, in the evening time, 8:30 at night. Gopis are far away. They're in Barsana, Yavatram. And it's only family members. When you watch TV in your house, who's there? People from the office? People? No, it's usually only your family members. Occasionally a friend or two. Special weekend. But all your family members. So in the evening entertainment and on the ground, it's only family members. It's a family affair. Brothers, uncles, brothers, etc. Nanda Maharaj's family, usually. Sometimes Vrishabhanu on birthday celebrations. Now, sometimes, of course, so many actors and poets and magicians and storytellers, they're entertaining Krishna, live entertainment every night. Sometimes one of the brothers of Nanda Maharaj says, listen, these are all very good musicians you've assembled here in your court, the court musicians of Nanda Maharaj. They're playing so wonderfully on their sitars and their mardanga and pakawaj. Beautiful musical concert that they are all providing for all of us. But actually, Nanda, listen. You know and I know, no one can play the flute like your boy. So do you think tonight we can have a special concert? Your son doesn't have to get up and come to the stage. We can bring the microphone over there. No. He doesn't have to get up and come and perform on the stage in the royal theater. He can sit next to you at the dinner table. There's no formality here. It's all family members. Because all the other musicians, all the other jugglers, and people doing gymnastics and acrobats, and the people and the Brahmins and pundits and bards reading poetry and the ancient histories of Nanda Maharaj's dynasty, Parjanya's Gotra and dynasty, and Krishna's exploits and Leelas and killing various demons. So many wonderful entertainments they have every night. In the Nitya Leela of Krishna. In the Pradosh, this is in Shayan Leela. 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night like this. When families get together. So they prevailed upon Nanda Maharaj. Please, can you beg your Nandalal? Can he play something for all of us? And he said, oh, all right, let me ask. Oh, Lala. See, your uncle, Abhinandan, my brother, he would like to hear you play the flute. Can you please my brothers and entertain all of us? Because we know your flute playing is so sweet and so attractive. And we would love to hear it. And then all the musicians were assembled there and the professional performers and reciters working for Nanda Baba, King Nanda Maharaj. They said, yes, 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 please. Oh, Lala, Nandalal, please, you play the flute. We'll accompany you on Pakawaj and we'll be so happy. So Krishna looked at Dao. He turned to Balaram because he wanted to get approval from Dao, his brother. Balaram just did one of these Indian things. He's like, moved his head like, okay, you know, it's cool. It's all right, go ahead. Then he looked at Sridham. Should I? Because Krishna's shy. When Krishna's in front of his father and his uncles, he's very shy, very lajja, very quiet. Chup. But when he's not with his mother and father, like any child would be, he's wild. But when the mother and father and uncles are there, his senior uncles, and maybe his grandfather, Parjanya, we don't know who's all there. elders. He's very sitting straight. Yes, Father. Very obedient and very calm and cool. Krishna's the greatest actor. The greatest actor, the greatest performer, the greatest entertainer. So then Krishna plays a little hard. And his father has to encourage him. Oh, Lala, please, you play some. Play some Vamshi for us, please. Please. Oh, Nandalal. And then Nanda Baba starts stroking his face, and rubbing his head. All right. And he doesn't have to go anywhere to get his flute case or call his servant to bring my musical instrument. Doesn't have to call, because it's right there. And Krishna starts playing his Vamshi. And everyone becomes so happy, so calm, so relaxed. And all the musicians are playing along on the stage, and Krishna's sitting there on the dining room table, sitting, playing like this. This is Krishna's Leela. This is Jagokulam. You see by this explanation how important and significant the role of Jagokulam, the Vamshi, and Krishna's Leela. We thought we should back up a little bit here, and we've been discussing Jagokulam in relation to Vama, Trisham, and Manoharam, to get a full picture of this flute. Because in all of Krishna's Leela, not only Ras Leela, but all his Leelas, he plays the flute. Before he kills a demon, he plays the flute. And after he kills a demon, he plays the flute. And with his eyes, when he's killing a demon or looking at the demon, he's playing the flute with the movements of his eyes and eyebrows. Because Krishna's eyes are musical. Krishna's eyes are musical. And his words are musical. So when he's looking at the demon, he's looking so happily and smiling. He's just laughing. Keshi comes, Krishna's laughing. Then Agasura comes, Bakasura. Krishna's smiling, laughing. He kills everyone with a smile on his face. No problem. Jagokulam. Now, an interesting point is that there's a story here, but we'll tell that. It says that Jagokulam Vamadrisham Manoharam, that Krishna, he played the flute. And Vamadrisham, the phrase Vamadrisham, describes there's cause and effect. The cause is Krishna's flute playing, Jagokulam, and the effect is on someone else. Krishna initiated a cause, and the effect is being experienced by the gopis, who have this, they says, actually, I neglected to mention when it said, Komala Gobi Rashjitam, Vanam Chattat Komala Gobi Rashjitam, in the previous pada, teen pada, that the forest, Brindavan, Vanam, was Gobi Rashjitam, colored by the Komala Gobi. Komala Gobi actually means the gentle, soft rays of the moon, which were reddish rays, were coloring the forest with a reddish glow like the moon. But some acharyas are saying that Komala Gobi, Rashjitam, means that Rashjitam, the gentle faces of the Gobi, because Go means Gopi and B means Alibi. Alibi means honeybee, which means Gopi. So Komala Vanam, that Krishna is seeing the full moon, he's seeing the forest floor of Vrindavan is indeed colored red from the rising red full moon. But Krishna, you see according to your love. It's called Bhav Drishti. Where your heart is, that's where your eyes are. Where your heart is and your eyes are, that's where your mind is. So Krishna, Atmanam Manyate Jagat. So he sees, when he sees the forest, he sees Radha. When he sees the reddish moon, he sees Radha. When he sees Kalindi and a white lotus flower, he sees Radha and himself, Yugal Milan. White lotus flower, Kumud, in the darkened waters, sham-colored waters, that's me. Kalindi is my color. Kalindi, dark black. And this white lotus flower is the lotus flower of Radharani's Gauri Mukh. And that's our Yugal form. And then I see the forest. So when Krishna saw the forest, Vanam Komala Gobi Rashjitam, then he thought, this is the Komala Gobi, this is the gentle Komala, soft, gentle faces of the Gobi, of the cows, those beautiful Gobis, those Alibis. and they are colored, their faces will be colored red kunkum. And I will meet them in this very forest. And that red kunkum, in this very forest of Vrindavan, where the Rasasthali is, I will meet the gopis in Rasamilan and Rasalila, Rasakrita, and my face will be colored by the color of the reddish kunkum on their cheeks. Then all of that had an effect. That was a cause to have an effect on Krishna. There's a chain of cause, effect, cause, effect, cause, effect. They call the chain of action, reaction. One action makes a reaction. That reaction causes an action, which makes another reaction. That's what nuclear bombs are all about. One atom goes this way, and then that releases something and causes. It's called a domino effect. You've heard of domino? Cause, you touch one domino, boing, and all these little wooden pieces are in a line. The cause is you're touching, pushing. Then the effect is that falls. And the effect of that becomes a cause to make the other one fall. Cause, effect, action, reaction. So what is the cause of Krishna's playing the flute, Jagokalam? The cause is remembering Radha. How did he remember Radha? Because of the Udipan, the Vibhav. The Vibhav, Vibhav means Vishesh, Bhav. The Stahi Bhav, the permanent loving mood in Krishna's heart, Madhurya Rati. Conjugal romantic love for Radha and the gopis in Vrindavan, Braja Madhurya Rati. That is his Stahi Bhav. Then something special happened, an Udipan, to make is a Vishesh Bhav. Means Vishesh because it's from the environment. The sound of the Veena or the moonshine or the coloring of the season. So that special emotion and exciting element that was created by that environment stimulates Krishna's Madhurya, his Stai Rati. And then other bhavas and feelings are expressed. Anubhav, Sattvic Bhav, Sanchari Bhav, and then all heightens and nourishes his love. So the cause is Vibhav. The effect is the hero becomes desirous for romantic pastimes. So now let's think of this from an analogy which dawned on me this morning when I was reflecting on this while chanting japa. It just came automatically. That we can compare this Staihi Rati in the heart, the permanent loving mood towards Krishna. Krishna's my son, Krishna's my master, Krishna's my friend, Krishna's my lover. We can compare that to the, I was using the analogy of dry leaves in the heart. It's like dry leaves. You have a pile of dry leaves in the heart. Just say a pile of sukapata. Sukapata means dry leaves, yes? There's a pile. Now that pile of leaves is like the Madhurya Stahi Rati, the permanent mood of devotion in the heart. It's there. And there's lots of potential. In dry leaves, sukapata, there's lots of potential in a pile of dry leaves. So the Madhurya Rati in the heart of Krishna, the permanent mood, is equivalent to memory or remembrance. I'll give you an example. When a man is married to his wife, the Madhurya Rati, the permanent loving mood in his heart, is Stai Rati. Stai means standing, fixed, placed always in his heart during his life or his wife. He has a permanent mood of conjugal romantic love for his wife. Conjugal love, Madhurya Rati. Swakya Bhav. And that is like the dry leaves. And he has the memory of his wife is always with him, wherever he goes. That memory is there. It's dormant. It's always there. Like the dry leaves are always there. That's the analogy, dry leaves. The memory is there. Now there's memory, remembrance, and then there's thinking. Thinking is always moving. Our mind is thinking of this, thinking of that. I'm in at work, and my mind is thinking about my work. And getting to work on time, addressing my appointments, my responsibilities, my duties. I'm thinking about this and planning. But I'm thinking in my mind, but in my heart, the memory of my wife is always there because she's my wife. You follow? So I'm thinking. So there's thinking, which is moving. Your thinking and mind are covering various fields. And thinking of business or thinking of sports or after work I'll play cricket. or we're thinking of the future of our vacation. Many directions the mind may go in thinking. But the memory is one. In my heart of hearts, my Madhurya Rati, I always have remembrance to my wife, and I can stop thinking about my business for a second, close my eyes, because that permanent mood of love is in my heart, that memory, that remembrance. I can think of my wife. Oh, yes, my even I can, by thinking of my wife and remembering my wife, I can see her rupam, her form, remember her qualities, gunam, and I can remember some interactions or activities that we did together, association. That's her lila, or let's say her activities, pastimes. That's all contained within memory, remembrance. So that's Krishna's heart. It's like that. So that's the pile of dried leaves. The memory of Radha is always there, no matter who he's with or where he is. He's thinking of the coward boys and thinking of newer and newer sports and play with them and Saki Ras. But in his heart, his Stai Rati for the gopis is Madhurya Rati. It's always there. That memory never goes. So those dry leaves are always there. That's Madhurya Rati or the Stai Rati. Now, time to time, something happens in the environment. Some reddish rising moon at midnight, some beautiful blossoming flowers, the animals, the environment, the setting, that becomes vibhav, vibhav, and it's vishesh bhav, and a special arrangement of nature or the season, whatever, a sight, a sound. And then that Krishna starts thinking about that. He sees that with his transcendental senses. He thinks about it. And when he thinks about it, that vibhav, which is udipan, a stimulant from the environment, then that creates fire, that thinking. As you think more and more about someone that you have in your memory, then you start, that create, that's thinking, that vishesh bhava acts like a match, like a fire. It lights the memory. Then you start remembering, oh, I'm seeing this, and I'm remembering that. I'm seeing this object, or this rising reddish moon and blossoming flowers, and I'm thinking about it. And as I think more and more, I get more involved with that thought, and that thinking brings me to my memory, my core memory, my heart, which is my Stai Rati. So this vibhav leads to or ignites or increases, or it's called udipan, udip, to ut deep, to increase the memory in the heart, the remembrance in the heart. The Stai Rati is like a small flame, deepam. Then the udipan, which is vibhav, udipan, alamban, and vibhav, I mean there's alamban, the hero and the heroine, and udipan. These are all specialized bhavas that rise up with the hero and heroine. These udipan are the environmental things, the non-personal things. And the hero and heroine are the personal. And it's all personal, ultimately. So now what happens? Krishna seeing the reddish moon and all the flowers, Kumud flowers, and he's seeing these things and he's thinking, yes, then those thoughts, vibhav, bring him to his Stai Rati, and he remembers, oh, it's not a reddish moon. I'm remembering that moon I'm thinking about is actually bringing me to my Stai Rati, my Madhurya Rati, and I'm remembering Radha. And as I'm remembering Radha, then as I remember Radha, Radha's in, we have a romantic loving relationship, amorous loving relationship, Madhurya Rati. So now I'm feeling, I'm seeing these objects in the environment, acting as udipan, stimulating awakening factors, and increasing the flame of the love in my heart. And now I'm remembering Radha, and then I'm feeling, from my Stai Rati comes feelings which are part of that Stai Rati. If your Stai Rati is conjugal love, then when you think about or remember your beloved, you feel romantic. You feel amorous, and you want to be with them and enjoy romantic affairs. This is how it works, out of reason. So now this Jagokulam Vamadrisham Manoharam, Krishna seeing all these things, the beautiful gentle rays, the komala gobi rashjitam, coloring the forest, and the malika flowers, and the kumud flowers, and the reddish moon, he starts remembering Radha, her face, her fragrance, her hair decorated with malika flowers, becomes very much absorbed in remembering his Madhurya Mai Prem Ashraya Radhika. And as he remembers, he starts thinking, as he's seeing the moon and all these, he's thinking of Radharani's face. The reddish moon is Radharani's face. The Arunena Limpan, that Akanda Mandalam, that Akanda Mandalam, that Uduraj. He's remembering her face. And we have Radharani's face is described as a Kanda Mandalam Chandramukhi. Her face is beautiful, round, glowing, and effulgent, and attractive, an unbroken orb of, and a countenance and an unbroken orb of beauty, glowing and soft and gentle and attractive and soothing and calming. That's Radharani's face. She is the original Chandra. She is Chandramukhi. Her face is like a Chandra. But what is on the face of a beautiful woman that makes her even more beautiful? What is the most beautiful feature of a woman's face? Eyes. That's why women put kajal on their eyes and blue and green to attract you to her face and her eyes. Then with her eyes, she looks at you and says, I love you, I want you. And you say, I'm yours. And you fly on in and land in her life forever. The eyes. So Krishna's mind, his thinking from the environment, is stirring his thinking in a specialized way. Vibhav, specialized, vishesh. That specialized thinking is bringing him, because it's romantic. Malika flowers have an intoxicatingly romantic flavor. When anyone smells them, they feel romantic feelings, the sweetness, the attraction, the enchantment of that fragrance. So lilting. It's a lilting fragrance and very attractive. So you naturally think romantically. You're thinking romantically, then you say, you remember, well, wait a minute, I'm thinking romantically, but I'm not married. I don't have any girlfriends. And say, anyway, might as well go to sleep. But I'm thinking romantically and with loving thoughts, and I have a lover, I have a wife. And I'm thinking, then I remember, yes, this is my stairati, my permanent bond of relationship. It's my always, no matter what I think throughout the day, I think future, past, I lament, I dream. You can never take out of my heart my memory of my wife and my remembrance of my wife, because she's my wife. That's Madhurya Rati. Permanent, fixed emotion in the heart, inseparable emotion, that's stairati. Immovable attachment, rati, attachment. Affection, love, stahi, stan, madhuri rati. I this kind of comparison because everyone's trying to understand these things. So I thought it gives some maybe more insight. So I made it like dry leaves are there. They're, oh, what's in the old dry leaves? And also, hey, the leaves are on fire. What made the leaves go on fire? Well, I started seeing things in the environment and it made me think of my beloved who have a madhuri relationship in my heart. And then that thinking kindled a fire. That deepam of love became an udipan. That factor became an udipan. And the flame, now all of a sudden, the dry leaves burst into flame. And, whoa, I have to do something to put it out. This cause of this increase of my Madhurya Rati is demanding and is looking for an effect. Now I'm feeling romantic. Now I'm excited. Then what? I want my beloved. I want to be with my beloved. I'm absorbed in thinking of my beloved. So Krishna saw the face of Radha in the moon. He saw the hair of Radharani in the Malika flowers. He saw her gentle, wonderful movements in the Yamuna. He saw her golden face and her gentleness and brilliance in the flowers and environment. He was stimulated and remembered her. This is Vibhava Udipan. So Krishna said, I have to call Radha Jagokalam. So the effect is Krishna's playing his flute. In verse 3, what is the cause? The Vibhav Udipan. His thinking, he went out there and his thinking is now turned to his Stahiba. It's night and 12 o'clock, you want to be with your beloved. You don't want to run around with cows. You're not thinking about running around with cows at 12 o'clock at night and playing leapfrog and jump and chasing monkeys in the forest with your friends. Different time, different thoughts. Kaladeshan Patra. Thoughts change, feelings change according to environment, time, place, circumstance. You're with good people, you feel good. You're with enemies, you feel bad. You're in pure, happy, good places, you feel pure, good, and happy. You're in contaminated, horrible places, you feel like this. Natural. We reflect our environment. We reflect our feelings, our thoughts. It's all a reflection of consciousness. The entire world is only a reflection of consciousness. Reality is consciousness. All is but a reflection. Mirror image. You've heard this term, perverted reflection. The material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual reality. That means mirror, a mirror, mirrored reflection. Pratibimba. Mirror. So it's only a reflection of consciousness. The reality is consciousness. Consciousness has no shadow. Think of that. It's a very deep point, actually. Consciousness has no shadow. Chit has no chaya. That's a teaser for philosophical minds. Consciousness has no shadow. At any rate, Jagokalam Vamadrisham. So Krishna decides to call for Radharani, Jagokalam. And as he's playing the flute and thinking of Radha from all this Udipan, he's remembering her deeply. And he's already remembering and thinking of her. He sees a Kanda Mandalam, the orb of the moon, and he remembers the moon of Radharani's face. What is the most beautiful quality of a woman's face? We established her beautiful, charming, enchanting, and captivating eyes, her foxy eyes, her seductive eyes, her eyes. The color, the beauty, the movement, the Kanjana bird movement, wagtail, this way, that way, Chanchalakshi Radha, Manakshi Radha, Premakshi Radha, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. The eyes of the Premi Bhakta, they also have Anjan, they also have mascara. But that Anjan is love, Prema. Premanjana Bhakti Vilochanena. What is that Vilochan? Their eyes, Vilochan, they have a special eye. What is that special eye? What is the eye of the pure devotee? It's a Vilochan. Lochan means eye. Everyone knows Lochan means eye. Padma Lochan, lotus eyes. Vilochan. Bhakti Vilochan means what makes that eye of the devotee special, vishesh, extraordinary, or the exceptional eye of the pure devotee, Shudbhakt, is bhakti. And it, what kind of bhakti is it? Is it just Dasya Bhakti or Madhuri? Is it Satya Bhakti? What type of bhakti is it? Is it Vaikuntha Bhakti? It's Bhakti Vilochan. It's a Vilochan saturated with devotion to God. Bhakti Vilochan. That eye is special, Vilochan, because of bhakti. What kind of bhakti? That bhakti which is surrounded by Anjan. That bhakti which is surrounded, that eye of bhakti which is surrounded or encircled by Kajal. That's called Anjan. And what type of Anjan is that? It's black. Why is it black? Because the eye of the devotee, the Krishna Bhakta, is always thinking of Shama Sundar and seeing Shama Sundar everywhere. That's called Madhurya Premanjana Bhakti Vilochanena. Brahmaji, in his Tattva Siddhanta, Brahma Samhita, he's saying, this is the eye of the Shudbhakta. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. We're discussing Krishna and Vrindavan. Radha Krishna Yugal Upasanam. The worship of Radha and Krishna together in Braj Leela. So Premanjana Bhakti Vilochanena. Vilochan of the Bhakta, Shudbhakta, Premi Bhakta. It may be, he may be Vishnu Premi Bhakta, Vaikuntha Bhakta. He may be Ram Premi Bhakta, going to Ayodhya Paramgati. But if we're discussing Krishna and Krishna Bhaktas, then that Premanjana Bhakti Vilochanena is Braja Prem, Gopi Prem. Radharani's eyes, she's always seeing Krishna everywhere. That is why Radharani's eyes are dark blue in color. Radharani's eyes are dark blue in color because she's seeing Krishna everywhere. And her eyes are surrounded by kajal, black kajal, because she wants to, on all sides, if she looks up anywhere with her eyes, and anyone who sees her eyes of Radha will remember Shyam, that Anjana. So this is the eye. So Krishna is thinking Vamadrisham. When Krishna plays the flute, he's remembering her face. Now he's seeing the beautiful eyes of Radha on his face. Vamadrisham. This Jagokalam Vamadrisham is describing the eyes of Srimati Radharani. Because the whole verse is about seeing Radharani in the white Kumud flower and remembering her. Seeing Radharani in the Akanda Mandalam of the moon and remembering her. And so now he's going to change the course of his memory. He's going to change the direction of his thinking to something else. He's on the same length, wavelength. His Madhurya Rati is stimulated. His Stai Rati is excited by these Udipan. Ah, now he plays his flute. And as he plays his flute, then he sees that He's looking at the moon and thinking of Radharani Sakandamandalam, beautiful Chandramukhi Radha's face. Then he sees her charming eyes, Vamadrisham. Then what that cause of seeing her eyes, what effect does that have on Jagokulam? He becomes Manoharam. We say Krishna's Manohar, Manohar Krishna, Makanchur, Manohar, that he steals people's minds. But here, the Manoharam refers to Krishna. He who is the thief is being robbed. Like you might ask the question, Daddy, who is that man? He's a thief. He robs people. Then the innocent son might say, well, Daddy, who robs the thief? He's a thief and he robs people. So he goes around and robs all the people. Then an innocent child doesn't understand, oh, Daddy, he's a thief and he robs people. So that thief is also a people. Yes, yes, he's a person. So who robs the thief? You see. Oh, nobody. Can anybody rob the thief? Yes. The thief goes and robs everybody and has all this money. Then a big thief thinks, oh, this little thief has got so much money. Now I'll go rob the little thief. The big fish eats the little fish. So Krishna, he's Manohar, but in this verse, Rasik Janas are saying, Jagokulam Vamadrisham Manoharam. The cause, I'm remembering Radha, thinking of Radha. So I play my flute. And as I play my flute, that cause of playing a flute makes me, Krishna, start remembering Radha more and becoming absorbed in Radharani more. And I start to see in the kandamandalam of her face, her Vamadrisham, Radharani's charming eyes. And as I look at Radharani's eyes, like any man of this world, if he looks too long at the charming eyes of a woman, he will be Manohar. He will become Manohar. His mind will get stolen. Man, mind, hara, steal, stolen, attracted, captivated, hypnotized. Oh, wow, she looked at, and then he comes home and he's walking like he's dazed. He's in a trance. And his brother said, what happened to you? Oh, nothing. You look like you've been hypnotized. No, it's just this girl. I mean my school. What was that? This girl? No. Hey, you saw my pencil and pen. Where is it? No. Hey, wait a minute. You said you're looking strange, like you're hypnotized. You're looking, my little brother, like you fell in love. There's a very strange look in your eyes. I think you're been cast a spell. Yeah, I think so. That's Manohar. She stole my mind with her charming eyes. Vamadrisham Manoharam. So Krishna, who's the thief, was robbed by a bigger thief of Vamadrisham Radha. The thief of Radharani's just remembering the thief, he got robbed. Now what kind of thief is that? Krishna's a big thief, and he started to remember the bigger thief. Oh, there's that big thief, Radha, Makanchori. Makanchori. I'm Manohar. Okay, I steal everyone's mind with my Leela Madhurya. I steal everyone's mind with my Rupa Madhurya. I steal everyone's mind with my Prema Madhurya. But I'm Manohar. But I have my Manohari. Radharani, she's stolen my mind. I saw her face by the bank of the Yamuna. I can't forget it. I'm having sleepless nights in Purvarag. Oh, when I'm anticipating when, where, how will I meet her? Krishna's mind was stolen just by a few glances from Radharani. He lost it, as they say. So Jagokulam Vamadrisham Manoharam. That Krishna, yes, my flute has got so much power to control the seasons, control the moon. This is autumn, and I'm bringing springtime here. How so? Because I brought springtime flowers. The best flower in spring is Malika. Ha! I brought it to autumn season, Sharad season. Look, see the power of my Vamshi. Ha! Then I brought the full moon right at the top of the sky, unmoving. Power of my Vamshi. I called all the gopis, and the deer came, and the squirrels came, and all the peacocks came. All right. And then again I called, and the gopis came. But Radharani fainted. See the power of my flute. Now, Jagokulam, with his invincible flute that controls the seasons and the flowers and the gopis and the animals, Paki Pashua Braj, I will call Radhika. Vamadrisham Radha. Yes. Now let's Vamshi come. As Krishna plays the flute, he remembers Radharani's face and sees her eyes, then he starts trembling, he's playing the flute. His mind, Krishna's mind, gets stolen, Hari, by that Atiyati Chori Rata. Her Vamadrisham completely steals his intelligence, his consciousness, his heart. Jago Kalam Vamadrisham Manohari Manohara. So this applies to Krishna. Just see, he's playing the flute to catch the thief. Krishna's playing the flute to call the thief Radha. Yes, I will call Radha, and we'll dance in the rasa, and we'll enjoy amorous affairs and romantic affairs. So yes, now flute. The thief who he's trying to call has actually, just thinking and remembering that thief, by thinking and remembering, he became stolen. He became robbed. Manoharam. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai. Vrishabhana Nandini Ishwari Radha Ki Jai. This is amazing. This is Bhagavat. This is Ras. Rasa Gata. And there's more. And always more. It's evermore, forevermore. Evermore, forevermore. Nitya Leela, Nitya Premam, Nitya Vrindavanam. So we can understand the power of the flute of Krishna. He played that Jago Kalam and so much anticipation. He played that flute. You can imagine that flute song that Krishna played. He was so much anticipating Radha's arrival and waiting for months. He's been practicing every day and night for months, all through the 4 months of the rainy season, now into autumn. Finally, he thinks he's attained perfection in his flute playing. So he wants to test himself, test the power of his flute. Will I pass the test? Will I call Radha? So much anticipation. And he's full of so much affection. His affection has been building for months. So this is described, and how much power that this flute has. Because when Krishna plays the flute, the gopis hear the flute. And actually, the Vamadrisham, the gopis, they also have charming eyes, all the gopis, and especially Radha. They hear Jagokulam, that beautiful sound, and they become captivated. But actually, there's one point that we want to make more about the flute. Is that Jago Kalam, I neglected to share with you Vishwanath Chakravarti's purport because we were experiencing our own realizations, which we shared. Very beautiful purport our Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad is telling us. Jago Kalam. Because the whole phrase can be taken together. It's the charpada, fourth line. Jago kalam vamadrisham manoharam. You can take it together. So I was explaining it, Jago kalam, for many days. And then I went today to stretch the whole thing. Now I'll go back to Jago kalam. So the class, we're going forward in the class, and then backwards, and forwards, and backwards. It's like a dance, because it's rasa dance. Do you know in dancing, sometimes a couple, they embrace, they take one step forward, and then two steps back, and to the right, left, and two steps. So we went two words, Jago Kalam, then stayed there. Then we went ahead, Jago Kalam, Vamadrisham, and then back. So this is a dance. So the discussion, the topic is Rasa Krita, Ras Lila, and the verses are full of Ras. Radha and Krishna will be dancing in the Ras Lila, but the dancing starts with verse 1. The Rasa dance starts with chapter 29, verse 1, because Krishna's mind starts dancing. Before your legs and hands and arms and can express dancing and actually dance, nritya or nach, then your heart has to move. Your heart moves and dances. Your mind moves and dances. And then the body follows suit. So actually every verse is dancing. The verses are dancing. The katha is dancing. The pracharak is dancing. And the shravanis, the listeners, the katha are dancing. The house is dancing. The monkeys are dancing. Everyone is dancing in Vrindavan. Natabara, Sri Krishna. Varhapitam Natabara. It's Krishna. Vishwa Chakravarti Pad, he takes this word, Jago Kalam. Says, Kalam. What is in this word? What hidden meanings are in this word, Kalam? Kalam is taken to mean flute. Jago Kalam. Krishna played the flute. But he's saying kalam is two syllables, kala. Kakara lakara. Kakara lakara. This kala means kakara lakara in Sanskrit. Kakara lakara. He's saying that kakara lakara, actually this word kalam represents calm beach. Kling. Ka, kli, and then la. Ka, la, kakara, lakara becomes kling. K-L-I-M with Chandrabindu above the M. And he expands on that. He says when Krishna played his first kling, what is klim? Vishnath explains. Kling is the bija mantra. Kling is called the calm bija mantra. Kamade. It is the mantra to invoke desire. It is the mantra of the god of love. Kamdev, Kandarp, 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 Kamdev, Panchasharai. Everyone has heard of the god of love. Cupid. In English they say Cupid, the god of love. He's depicted as a cherub. He's a small, like child, angelic child. He has a bow and arrow and he's always shooting. Doing. Kamadev is the god of love, the love god, Cupid, who creates attraction, man to woman, creates desire, man to woman, intoxicates one. It says there are five effects of Cupid. Attraction, and it compared to fire, smoldering, smoking, burning like this. Attraction, attachment, loss of sleep, anticipation, then madness, all these degrees are there. These are the effects of, quote, falling in love, being hit by the arrows of Cupid, Kamdev, Bana, the arrows of Cupid being stricken. That attraction and attachment and intense, you become intoxicated and maddening. It says maddening, then intoxicated, mada, then moha. These are different. Mada, intoxicated, then moha. You just become so bewildered in love. Or whatever, lust. So this is klim. So Krishna's jagoklam, kakara lakara, comes out as klim, the kama bija mantra. But Krishna, he is not creating lust in anyone. If Krishna touches anyone, if Krishna contacts anyone, if Krishna blesses anyone, if Krishna expresses his love or vatsalya or affection for anyone, they get free from lust. They get free from mundane desire and the intoxication of maya and attachment to sense gratification. These are the effects of the mundane material Cupid or the Kamadev. One becomes attached to maya and absorbed in material sense gratification and forgets God. Becomes very lusty to enjoy men or women. This is the effect of Kamadev. But Krishna is not a material god of love. He's a spiritual god of love. He's called the Aprakrita Madan. Navina Aprakrita Madan. Navina Aprakrita Madan. He's the new, ever fresh, always attractive, forever new, eternal god of love. The transcendental Kamadev. Dibya, Alokik Kamadev. So he is the original Kamadev. Originally there is prema. Originally, prema, love between the devotee and God, between Krishna's energies, his shaktis and God. This is the original pure form of intense attraction and intense attachment, is love, prema. Prema in this world, love of God becomes perverted as love of man. Or love of woman, or even love of dog. I love my dog. I love my house. I love my cat. I love my job. I love my country. So prema becomes calm. Love becomes lust. So Krishna is a transcendental God. Navina Aprakrita Madan Sri Krishna. So when Krishna is playing the flute, he's not inciting desire to enjoy lusty affairs. He's not increasing the desire to enhance or increase one's sense gratification in the sphere of the material world. When Krishna plays his flute, Jagokalam, then that clump from Krishna's flute, the vibration, the song that's coming from Krishna's flute is Klim, the transcendental Bija mantra. And when the gopis hear that, they hear the Klim. They hear in that Klim Bija, that mantra of desire, the god of desire, they hear and they the effect of that flute sound, that Kalam on the gopis, is they increase their desire to serve Krishna in loving affairs. They increase their desire to please Krishna intimately and satisfy his every whim and wish. It doesn't increase their lust, it increases exponentially, increases their love, their Madhurya Prem, their Madhurya Rati. This is the effect of Jago Kalam, the transcendental flute playing of Krishna, Kalam. So Vishnu Chakravartipad explains that this is the meaning of Jago Kalam. The word Kalam means Klim, the Bij mantra. The Kam Bij mantra. Seed, the seed of desire. The mantra that is the seed of desire, Kam. The seed of lust. When that Kamadeva affects our heart, we become lusty. We have intense craving, burning, searing, compelling craving to enjoy lusty affairs in this world with men or women, amorous pleasures. That's the effect of the material god of love, the material Cupid. But when Krishna, we hear the sound of Krishna's flute, and or we, like the gopis, they don't have material cravings, it increases their desire because it's the desire mantra. Kam Bij, Kam means desire. Kam means love, desire. It increases their desire to love Krishna and serve him. So this is being told. And lust, of course, intoxicates us and maddens us. But the gopis become intoxicated with love, not lust. They become mad with the desire to please Krishna and make him happy. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains this meaning of Jagokalam. Kakara lakara means klim. Now, this mantra klim is in a mantra here that sadhakas, upasakas that are practicing Radha Krishna Yugal Upasanam. They're worshipping Radha and Krishna Yugal, Radha Madhav, Radha Sham, Radha Giridhari. Then they receive Kam Gayatri mantra. So what is that? They're chanting a mantra to increase lust. They're chanting a mantra to increase their desire to enjoy the material world. No. This Kam Gayatri, Klim Kamadevaya, Vidmehe, it is the seed of desire. It increases the original, eternal desire in the heart of all jivas, purified jivas, that pure one and only desire to love and serve and please Krishna. So when Vaishnav, especially Gaudiya Vaishnav, Radha Krishna Upasaka, when he chants Kam Gayatri, it fills him with desires to serve Radha Krishna Yugo, Radha Govinda Yugo. And it purifies him of all other desires. The Kam Gayatri mantra is compared to the sound of Krishna's flute. Jago Kalam for the sadhaka becomes the Kam Gayatri. And it removes, because we are suffering in this world because of our material desires. We are being tortured and suffering in this world, lack of peace and so much disturbance and problems because of our material lust, our lusty cravings and desires. So the Krishna plays the flute and then he removes our cravings for material life and our lust, and he takes lust and turns it into love. He takes cravings and attaches it to sense gratification into enthusiasm to serve God and control the senses and get free from sense gratification. This is the effect of the Kam, the Kakara, Lakara, Jago Kalam of Krishna's flute. This is why Krishna is all attractive. So this is a beautiful explanation of this word by our Rasikacharya. And we find also that this klim, kalam, Vishnu explains that this beach, calm beach mantra, klim, is also found described in different books, shastra. Brihad Gotamiya Tantra describes the calm beach mantra, klim. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki jai, Mahapran Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So tomorrow we'll discuss this klim mantra, the mantra of desire and divine love. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.